Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah and Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome into Jaguars Postgame, the final score at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Jets 28, Jaguars 23. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor is with us on the line down in South Florida. This was close. The Jaguars were down a couple of scores, got a quick touchdown there to get back within a score. Nearly got the ball back. The turnovers towards the end of this game, guys, doomed the Jaguars today, certainly in the fourth quarter. And hey, Fred, you can't turn the ball over, especially if you're trying to claw back into a ball game.
Hey, JP. Hey, Mike. How's it going, guys?
Great, hey, Freddy.
Hey, yeah, man. The turnovers. They came back and they showed us why you can't turn the ball over. Field position lost, momentum. You know, I mean, they played a hard game. I mean, for me, it was a hard fought game, a game that they definitely had an opportunity to win. Statistically, they were great. Yet the six sacks and the four turnovers, two loss, and the two picks. I'm sorry, that hurts a whole lot.
Yeah, Fred. Especially. Yeah, I hate to do the so and so should have won when they lost, but you outgained the Jets 436-290 as the Jags, and it didn't feel like the Jets really were able to drive the length of the field on them at any point today. It wasn't just the turnovers. It was setting up the Jets in point-blank field position. You had a day when they had no kicker, basically, because he hurt himself in pregame warm-ups. I mean, it just feels like this one, to me, got through your fingers as much as any game they've had this year so far.
That's true, Mike. I mean, and it seems that it really went downhill after the Parnell holding call, if I'm not mistaken. They were in it. You know, it's a very close game. They dominated in first down. They lost the turnover battle. You can't win that way, but they did do a great job at defending the run. You know, so you can defend the run and play smash mouth all day, but if you can't protect the football on the other side, then that's pretty much a loss because of the field position battle in professional football.
Final score, 28-23, Jets over the Jaguars in New York. We're standing by to hear from head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff Loggeman is positioned outside of the Jaguars locker room at MetLife Stadium. I mean, there were some positive things today, too. A couple of receivers over 100. A-Rob, Allen Hurns had a touchdown today, both guys over 100 yards. There were times where this offense moved the ball a bit and did get some things done today. The yardage indicates that, Fred.
Yeah, I thought they did some things well today. You know, and like Mike said, you hate to, have the moral victories, but this is a young team that we're consistently hearing the theme of improvement. And you have to give them credit in that aspect, in that respect. Yet they have to find a way to overcome the youth and finish the games when it's crunch time.
Yeah, you look up and you think there's a day when Indianapolis is going against Denver. You figure that's going to be tough based on the way Denver's defense is playing. Tennessee playing a hot New Orleans team. Well, they just won it in overtime. The Titans did. So instead of maybe being tied for first place, now you're tied for the other end in the AFC South, Fred. And, I mean, that's how quickly things can change.
And it does change quickly. But, again, yeah, I mean, the division is so close. I mean, anything can happen in another eight games. Anything can happen. Tennessee has a rookie quarterback. The Texans, they're shuffling quarterbacks, and they're trying to find their identity. And Andrew Luck isn't playing up to par, so you try to get those guys when you can. But the division is still a race towards the end of the season, so they don't count us out yet. We play some pretty tough opponents. And at the back half of the season, you're going to have to see your divisional opponents plus a few other teams, so I think they still have an opportunity. Got to find a way to protect that ball, though.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, Jaguars postgame, awaiting the first word with head coach Gus Bradley in New York with Jeff Loggeman. Let's move to the fourth quarter of this game, Fred. We'll break down this, of course, in great detail. Actually, we'll get to that coming up. Let's go to New York now. Jeff Loggeman has head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, a tough-fought game, but it's kind of hard to win games when you're minus four in the turnover differential, pretty simply put.
It was. I mean, that was the big tale of the story. Four turnovers, two interceptions, two fumbles. You know, I think, you know, it's hard to overcome that. Even if we had one less, you know, it gave us a better opportunity.
Were you surprised at, I guess you could say, the strategy of the opponent there at the end of the half and then also at the end of the game to just try to run the clock out and depend on their defense like they did?
Well, at the end of the game, you could see at the end of the half, you know, it's their choice. I think they know their team pretty well and what they want to get done. So, you know, we got our own things we need to take a look at.
Defensively, your guys gave you some opportunities, especially there at the end of the ball game, even at the end of the half to where you got possession of the ball once again. Got to be proud of your defense and the job that they did overall getting the ball back to the offense and the job that they did against Chris Ivory.
Very good. I don't know. He finished with, 29 yards on 28 carries. Really good running back. So thought we did an excellent job there against the pass. Brandon Marshall, four catches, but he had that touchdown. You know, so I think when it comes back, when that is short field, we had some critical errors, you know, on a couple third downs right there that led him to points. And, you know, every group has things they can work on, and that's what we need to work on, as well as turnovers. We got shut out as far as turnovers on defense.
Any injuries of note to report?
Nothing that I've met with our trainers yet, so we'll find out more about that in a short period of time.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with head coach Gus Bradley outside of the Jags locker room at MetLife Stadium. When we come back, Lagerman goes inside for reaction after the Jags fall in Week 9. 28-23 the final, Jets over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Final score at MetLife Stadium, 28-23, Jets over the Jaguars. Let's go to the Jaguars locker room. Jeff Lagerman has Blake Bortles. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Blake, a tough game against one heck of a defense, but you just can't turn the ball over as an offense and as a special teams group to win games.
Right, yeah, it's hard. You know, they're definitely a talented group, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, but you know, I thought we kind of shot ourselves in the foot in the first half and came out in the second half and did some good things. You know, ultimately didn't make enough plays, and the turnovers, you know, definitely killed us.
How do you change that? You know, you have such a productive game as a team in London against the Buffalo Bills to where you came back and win. You obviously had some confidence to be able to do that here. But how do you get over that hump to where you start playing clean football?
Yeah, you know, I think it's it's kind of a continuous grind. You know, I think the guys understand that, you know, it didn't go our way. But I think everybody in this locker room, you know, can't wait for another opportunity to go play the ball the way we know how, and you know, get back on track.
All right, thank you, Blake.
Thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with Blake Bortles inside the Jaguars locker room. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Quick reaction there, Fred, for Blake Bortles. Couple of picks today, one early, one late. Williams got both of those interceptions for the New York Jets. Overall, your thoughts on Blake's day today, Fred?
You know, first, JP, I want to acknowledge, man, I would have loved to go to battle with Blake. You know, he's a young guy who gets it. I mean, he makes his mistakes at the inopportune times, yet, you know, he keeps fighting. And he's a kid that, man, you would love to play with. He's so passionate. And I thought he should have been sacked more, but the athleticism came out and showed. He has total confidence in his receivers. He's throwing the ball, allowing them to make a play. You know, I thought his accuracy was fairly good today, placing the ball where it should have been. Those two interceptions, they're big. You can't hide those because of the field position that it gave the other side. And I believe one was points off turnovers, if I'm not mistaken. Yet, take those away, and he has a decent day.
Let's go back to New York. Jeff Lagerman has Sendarek Marks in the Jags locker room. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Sendarek, this was certainly a hard-fought game, back-and-forth game, and you guys as a defense played pretty well against Chris Ivory and gave your offense plenty of opportunities, but the turnovers just killed you guys today.
Yeah, you know, we went out and that was the key focus of our defense, stop the run and making sure that everybody fit and we do exactly what we're supposed to do. You know, I think we played well up front. I think we played well as a defense, you know, but for us, I mean, if our offense turned the ball over, it's our job to go out and get more turnovers. You know, we have to win the turnover battle and try to win field position. So, I mean, it can't fall back on us. It's our job, you know, and we're a team.
So close on that third down. Chris Ivey's trying to run the clock out. Telvin punches the ball out and looks like Paz had his hands on it for a minute.
Yeah, you know, those plays we got to come up with, you know. But it's a big play in the game. You know, at the end of the day, we got the ball back for our offense. We got to stop and gave ourselves a chance. So, you know, hats off to everybody on defense. You know, I think we played well, and it's just something that we need to build off of and continue to do.
What do you learn from a game like this overall as a team?
You know what, overall, we just have to continue to fight. You know, as a defense, we go out and if our offense does go out and turn the ball over, we have to go out and get the ball back. We have to, you know, continue to complement each other and be one team on one page.
All right, thank you, Sinderic.
No problem at all.
Sinderic Marks with Jeff Loggeman inside the Jaguars locker room. We'll come back with the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game for Fred Taylor. Final score, 28-23, Jets over the Jags. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores right on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Final score in New York, the Jets 28, Jaguars 23. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor on Jaguars postgame. And it's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Number one, Fred, the turnovers today. How do you still be aggressive while not turning it over? How do you balance those two moving forward?
You know, you just got to play your style of ball. Play your style of ball, call it as you call it. The quarterback, it's on him. Quarterback has to be a little bit more aware of where he's throwing it, and those guys returning the ball, you got to secure those punts, no muff punts.
All right, number two, Freddie, hard to say the passing game wasn't good today. Blake threw for 381 yards, but how do they get Julius Thomas going? Only three grabs for 14 yards, had a big drop as well.
Well, Julius, he's not getting the receptions that you're used to him seeing, but Julius is, he's pulling guys to him, and it's leaving the guys on the outside singled up. So as long as he's giving us an opportunity to make plays elsewhere, I don't mind him having the catches right now, not having the catches.
And finally, Fred, number three, how difficult is this one to move past? Honestly, it didn't sound like the guys were too discouraged in the locker room, the guys we heard from just now.
Now, I heard a lot of optimism in those interviews. I don't think it's difficult at all. They realize they've been in a lot of dogfights, a lot of close games. They got to find a way to finish. They're going to continue these next eight games until they find a way to close that door at the end. They're, like I said, they're still in the division hunt, so there's no need to quit now. You got to keep chugging along.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game for Fred Taylor. Yes, yeah, a strange game for Blake. I mean, they, like you said, Mike, 381 yards through the air, that's never really a bad day. I mean, you're throwing the ball over the yard, had 40 attempts, 24 completions today, a couple of touchdowns. Couple of picks. He fumbled the one time. Actually fumbled another time, too, or it fell out of his hand. He fell on it at the one-yard line. So ball's on the ground a little bit today, and just a lot of good, a lot of not so good today, and a mixed bag, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Look, if they're able to either Posluszny recovers the fumble by Chris Ivory and they're able to go down and score, or if Blake leads them down to a final score, you wipe away the previous turnovers, but it's the last one that is the absolute killer there. On first down, he's rolling to his right. He's throwing across his body into heavy coverage at that point in time. I know they don't have a lot of time, JP, but you got to live to fight another down in that instance. I understand he's trying to make plays, and without the play of Blake Bortles, you're not in the position to try to win the game in the final minute anyway. So you hate to say he's the reason they lost, but certainly the turnovers were the key thing, and he was responsible for three of them.
All right, we'll come back in just a moment. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. We'll have the play of the game presented by Bud Light. The highlights a little later in Everbank Stats Check as well. Final score, 28-23. Jets over the Jaguars in New York. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score, New York, the Jets 28, Jaguars 23. JP Shadrick. We'll hear from Mike Dempsey and Fred Taylor again coming up. Let's get to the highlights from today's game, including the Bud Light play of the game. Well, we'll start off in the first quarter. The Jags got a field goal to open the scoring. Myers from 45 yards away. A 3-0 lead for the Jags on their first drive of the game. Then the Jets come back with their second drive. after a lengthy kickoff return of 53 yards to set him up on a short field. There was a screen on a 3rd and 12. They converted to even continue the drive. Fitzpatrick throws a touchdown pass of 7 yards to Decker to open the scoring for the Jets.
Shotgun for Fitzpatrick this time. Straight drop, looking left. Now the Jaguars are going to rush him. He tries to step up into the pocket. He does. He fires into the end zone. Touchdown to Eric Decker. A 7-yard touchdown pass. Fitzpatrick stepped up in the pocket and threw it to Decker for the score.
7-3 game. The Jets with the lead. The Jags threw an interception. And then the ensuing drive, 6 plays, 31 yards. Ivory from a yard away makes it 14-3.
Third and goal from the half-yard line. 3 tight ends set, I formation for the Jets. Jags have bunched the line of scrimmage. They give us to Ivory running left. He's hit near the line of scrimmage, but he's going to pull Paul Posluszny into the end zone. Puz hit him in the backfield or near the line of scrimmage, but Ivory pulled him into the end zone for the touchdown.
14-3 the score. The Jags, couple of offensive drives, have to punt twice, but the Jags defense started to turn things around. The field was flipped on those short fields. That's set up those 2 easy touchdowns for the Jets, but the Jags defense got a couple of punts. And then the Jags, with just a little bit of time left in the first half, got the ball back. Drive right down the field, couple of plays. 20-yarder to Hearns, tapped his toes on the sideline to make the catch. And the next play, a 30-yarder to Hearns for a touchdown just before halftime.
Straight drop, pump fake left. Now looks back right, fires toward the end zone to the right side. That ball is caught for the touchdown. Allen Hearns from Blake Bortles for the score.
So 14-10 at halftime, the Jets had the lead. Early in the third quarter, Myers hits from 39 for the Jags, makes it a 1-point game, 14-13. Ivory caps off an 8-play, 73-yard drive with a 1-yard touchdown run. So the Jets lead 21-13. Myers hits another field goal, 21-16 score. The Jags defense then started to play. They had the 3-and-out, a 5-play drive before forcing a punt, set up the Jags. But Blake Bortles, trying to make something happen on offense, hit from behind, loses the ball.
Straight drop, pump fake. Blake looks, moves around in the pocket, still moving. Now hits, the ball is out. That ball is out. Can the Jaguars jump on it? Everybody is jumping for it. Everybody's diving on top of it. And the Jets have it.
And then the Jets couldn't do anything on the ensuing drive. A 3-and-out. They punt it away to the Jags. Marshall muffed the punt, gave it back to the Jets. Short field again. Couple plays later, 3 plays, 25 yards. Fitzpatrick to Brandon Marshall, a 20-yard touchdown.
Stacy now the running back in the game. Play fake. Fitzpatrick looks. Fires into the corner of the end zone. Diving attempt. Caught for the touchdown by Brandon Marshall. He beat the Vaughn House.
28-16, and the Jaguars needed a couple of quick scores. They got one in a hurry. Bortles to Walters, a 20-yard touchdown. 28-23. The Jags defense got a 3-and-out after the onside kick and nearly had a fumble recovery to put it in Jets territory, but they got the 3-and-out. Blake Bortles intercepted, though, to end the game. Marcus Williams for the second time.
54 seconds to play. Straight drop. Blake looking. Scrambles out of there. Rolling right. Fires to the middle of the field, and that is intercepted. He tried to make a play in the middle of the field. Second interception of the game for Marcus Williams. He kind of ran into one of his teammates.
We'll give the Bud Light play of the game to Bortles to Hearns. The touchdown just before halftime. 30-yard score. That was the Hearns drive. He had the toe-tapping catch right before that. But the Hearns touchdown is a Bud Light play of the game presented by Bud Light. It reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. Back in a moment with the Everbank Stats Check. Plenty more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. The Jags fall in New York 28-23. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars postgame continues. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. The Jags fall in New York 28-23, the final score. And it's time now for a look at the Everbank final stats check. And we start off with team stats today. Total yardage. The Jaguars outgained the Jets in this game 436 to 290. Not much on the ground for either side. Jags had 98 yards rushing, 29 on the ground for the Jets this afternoon. A lot of those yardage for the Jags came from Blake Bortles. We'll break down the individual stats coming up. Passing yardage, 338 to 261 in favor of the Jaguars. The the turnovers, though, that's the one that's going to stand out. The that's a tough one to overcome. You turn the ball over, lose the battle as bad as they did today in the turnover department, Fred, you're not going to get much done.
Hey, JP, you're not going to get anything done. I think the percentage of win might be 1% if you lose the turnover battle. But you have to turn the protect the ball and try and give yourself an advantage on field position. That way, when you have a defense playing as well as the defense played today, especially in the run game, then you have yourself, you eventually get field goals, a big play or two here and there, score touchdowns, and then you're on the winning side of the stat column.
Yeah, 4-0. I would imagine you're right, Fred. Around 1% would be the margin you'd win some of those games. Blake Bortles today, 24 out of 40, 381. He averaged 9.5 yards per attempt today, which is great compared to where he's been this year, kind of in the mid-sixes. Two touchdown passes with the two interceptions. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 21 of 34, 272, with a couple of scoring tosses. He did not throw an interception. Bortles sacked 6 times by the Jets defense. Jags able to generate 2, 1 for Audric, 1 for Chris Clements. Jets did not do anything on the ground today. Chris Ivory ran it 23 times to amass 26 yards, but he did score from 1 yard out a couple of times to help the Jets get some points on the board. T.J. Yeldon pretty quiet today as well, except for a 45-yard run late in the game, 14 carries for 64 yards overall for T.J. Bortles at 32 on 4 scrambles. And on the through the air, I should say, Allen Hurns extends his Jaguar record of 6 games now with touchdown receptions, 5 grabs, 122 yards, and a score averaged 24.4 yards a catch. Meanwhile, Allen Robinson averaged over 20 yards a catch with 6 for 121. Did not get a touchdown there. And Bortles spread it around. Brian Walters, 5 for 54. T.J. Yeldon, 3 for 37 as well. Several other 3 tight ends all catching at least one pass today. But Eric Decker caught a touchdown on 6 grabs for 79 yards for the Jets. And Brandon Marshall, 4 for 44, but a 20-yard score late really helped put this game away, at least made the margin 2 scores, and just not enough time, I guess, for the Jags to come back and overtake it.
Fred, the Jaguars receivers today, the Jags had a couple of guys over 120 yards. I believe it's the first time, according to Hayes Carline of the Times Union, the first time in Jags history two receivers have gained over 120 yards in a game. That's according to a Jaguars PR. So, but they had a couple of notable catches. Allen Robinson had the deep ball down the middle where he stole it away from the guy. Allen Hurns had the toe-tapping catch on the sideline and then the touchdown right after that. They're making more and more plays like that as you go along here, Fred.
Hey, you know what, JP? Man, that's elite company. I mean, Jimmy and Keenan weren't any slack. They weren't slouches. You know, and for that to happen as the first time in team history, you got to tip your hat to those guys, man. Definitely some young playmakers. And I look forward to more of that along with Blake, you know, going forward. So, you know, I was going back. They both had drops in the game.
Yeah, sure.
And I think at that point they each woke up and ended up with a very good performance. So that's very encouraging. You know, we have to just the theme of the day is the turnover battle. You can't lose the turnover battle, otherwise you're going to lose at least 99% of the time. Mike, you see I got to turn it around a little bit.
No, I think you're right, Fred. I think 1% might be high. If you're gonna turn it over 4-0, 1% might be on the high end of how many times you win that one, man.
Yeah, but I think, and not to sound like a Monday morning quarterback or even a crybaby for that matter, I think the refs gave I think that the home field advantage worked in the Jets' favor today. I saw 2 plays that the earlier challenge in the game that shouldn't have been turned. It should have been turned over with a safe a save a timeout there. So that should have been a call in our favor, as well as the Brandon Marshall touchdown. It hits the ground. But the league has had some problems over the past 2 or 3 years with how they want to call it. If it's a football reaction, it's a catch, it's a drop. It's so gray right now, but that was certainly a ball rolling on the ground.
We're back in a moment. We'll pick a Safe Touch Security player of the game. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. Final score in New York, 28-23, Jets over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. The final score in week 9, Jets 28. They're now 5-3 with a win over the Jaguars. 28-23 final. Jags fall to 2-6, and they're going to Baltimore next week to face the Ravens. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville, and Fred Taylor's on the line with us down in South Florida. Fred, it's time now to pick a Safe Touch Security player of the game, and the voting process today, as always. Mike, you and I get a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half. And how you guys want to start this today? Who goes first?
Let's let Freddie go first.
You know, I was just thinking I was going to give my vote to charity. I mean, you might as well give it to someone, because today's loss was somewhat of a charity case. I don't like doing this when we lose. I mean, oh, man, this is tough. And then you guys put me first. Let's see.
You can abstain if you want, Fred. That's fine.
You know,
how about this? If JP and I split, then you'll have to break the tie for us. But if you want to abstain, that's on you. That's up to you.
I mean, does it have to be one person? Can it be a group? I mean, well, you said player of the game, so I guess it has to be one person.
I guess we could bend the rules, but I mean, you know.
I don't want to bend the rules too much. You guys let me get away with murder too much.
Well, let's do it this way then, Fred. Mike, you and I will pick one, and then Fred can be the tiebreaker.
All right, that sounds good. I'm going to go with Allen Hurns. 5 catches, 122 yards. The stats, not much different than Allen Robinson, with the exception of the touchdown, which extends his record streak to 6 games now in a row with a touchdown reception. Hurns, he's just good, man. Forget the fact where they got him at this point in time, undrafted free agent. I mean, no one's going to remember that in a couple of years. This guy's developing into one of the best young wide receivers in the AFC, along with Allen Robinson. But, you know, Robinson had a big drop earlier where, again, it looked like he let the ball get into his body a little bit. And, you know, Hurns hit pay dirt. So, averaging over 24 yards a grab today, he did what he could do to help this team and help put him in position to maybe steal one late, but unable to do it. But 5 for 122 and a touchdown.
I tend to agree with you, but in order to get Fred to break our tie, I'm going to go with Allen Robinson today instead. 6 receptions, 121 yards, no touchdowns today for A-Rob. But the big catch over the middle stole the ball away from the defensive back. You see glimpses of why they thought so highly of Allen Robinson. Yeah, a couple of drops here or there. That was for both guys today. So my vote, at least for this segment's sake, is Allen Robinson. Fred, who you got?
Winner chicken dinner. I'm going to go with the defense today, and this is why. The defense, they played a solid game. You know, their backs were against the wall for a good majority of the game because of the field position. And that run defense was stingy. I would have hated to face those guys today. And Jonathan Cyprian, 13 tackles, 7 solo, 2 tackle for loss. He was in the backfield. He was aggressive. He played well in coverage. I got to give Cyprian my player of the game.
All right.
Okay. There you go.
And a half. You know what? JP, we talked about it when it happened in that last drive when you needed to force one more Jets punt. Chris Ivory on second down looked like he might have had a crease, and Cyprian came in there, got his hand around his ankle, and tripped him up, Fred, just enough. I think Paul Posluszny might have cleaned it up. But you're right. I noticed him flying around to the ball today. Couldn't get his hands quite on one that he had a shot maybe to get an interception if he had attacked it a little bit more, as Jeff Logan described it. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. You hold Chris Ivory to 26 yards on 23 carries. You've done something right, and that certainly in part was due to the support from Jonathan Cyprian.
You took the Jets out of their comfort zone. They want to run the ball and play great defense. They're number one in stopping the run. But when you can't run the ball, it takes you – out of your comfort zone somewhat, yet we allowed them to creep back in because we basically gave the ball back to them because they punted quite often today. So my vote goes to Cyprian. The offensive guys, they're pretty guys. They get all the credit all the time.
His vote and a half goes to Cyprian.
I was about to say, yeah, Fred just slow played both of us right there. I don't know, you guys pick. And then just came with a hammer the end. Well done.
That's his prerogative.
The unfortunate part of all this, though, is that the Jags fell today, 28-23.
Yeah.
And the final score, the Jets, the winner today, they're now 5-3. The Jags are 2-6. But Safe Touch Security Player of the Game, Jonathan Cyprian. Back in a moment, Baptist Health Injury Report. Final score, 28-23, Jets over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. We roll along in Jaguars postgame. Final score, 28-23, the Jets hang on as the Jags turn the ball over a bit in the fourth quarter today, 28-23. The Jets are now 5-3. The Jags fall to 2-6. They'll go to Baltimore next week. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor on Jaguars postgame. Time now for the Baptist Health System Injury Report, presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. A few nicks today. Zane Beagles was out for just a short moment. I don't know if he even missed any snaps. It was on a defensive drive when the report came in that he was looking at putting on a knee brace and apparently came back into the ball game. This week, remember, had a foot injury and did not practice until late in the week. But Zane Beadles on the list today. Michael Bennett, defensive lineman, a hamstring injury, left the ball game. Not sure the severity there. And, Mike, you and I were talking about it during the game. Fred, I'm sure you saw it too. Blake Bortles on his backside a good bit today and taking hits a lot of the day and coming up slow a couple of times, holding what appeared to be that back or midsection. Taking a lot of hits is never good for that quarterback.
No, it's never good at that position. You got to get the guys up front to be a little bit more sound in their protection. You don't want your quarterback, because Blake is an athletic guy. He's a big guy. He's going to run the ball. So those are additional hits along with whatever sacks or either pressured hits he gets during his dropbacks. So you really want to try and protect him. I mean, he's your franchise.
It's still overall a healthy club, though. I mean, coming off the bye week, that's the healthiest they had been. It doesn't matter a lot, though, if you go out and lose the ball game like they did today, 28-23. But in general, like you said, Fred, everything's still out in front for this team if they handle some business moving forward. At least for the most part, it seems that they've got a pretty healthy squad to do it.
Yeah, I think they're in a pretty good situation. The position that they're in, the next three games, as I see it, up next, is the Ravens, 2-16, 6 losses, 5 points, 2 wins by 3. Our team, they lost Steve Smith, senior, who's one of their offensive playmakers. We play great run defense, so I think we can bottle up Forsett, defend those other guys, which are big targets, yet I still think we're capable. And just play sound offense. You know, run it. Don't be afraid to punt. Go play good defense. Give yourself an opportunity. Same thing with the Titans. They have a rookie quarterback. You can get him off his mark, rattle him up a little bit. Plus, that's a divisional game, so you want to get there. But I understand I'm 2 weeks ahead. It starts with the Ravens, yet the outlook is very optimistic. They're healthy. The playmakers are intact. Go out and find a way to finish the games so you can get some victories.
Brad, I want to go back to what JB was talking about, Blake Bortles getting hit and how much he was on the ground today. This is a Jets team that came in, despite the fact that they had gotten some pressure, as you know, Jeff Logman, Tony Vaselli said, watching the film, they get more pressure than the sack total would indicate. The bottom line is they only had 11 sacks through 7 games, and they got 6 today against Jacksonville. How concerning is that for the protection or the lack thereof that Blake Bortles had today?
You know, Mike, in all fairness, it's concerning because it's not just the offensive line. Now, I saw two occasions in there where Yeldon, you know, he wasn't aggressive at the point of attack. You got to get up there and you got to pop those guys in the mouth, especially those little corners or smaller undersized safeties that are coming off the edge. You have to be sound with them, because if you show on tape that you're vulnerable in pass pickup, one, the defensive coordinator is going to unload everyone. The pilot is going to get in on the action, as well as the defenders. they're going to say, hey, this guy, you know, he's not sound. He's not physical at attack. Let's bull rush him and just get in the quarterback's face if we don't get it. So that's the piece that's concerning to me, is that I have to find a way to clean it up, as well as that one look where the backers were mugged up and they sort of faked the dropout and delayed blitz. That also was some pressure. So I'm sure they'll go and watch it on tape and find a way to clean it up and hopefully protect Blake a little bit more.
When we return, a look at next week's game. The Jaguars heading to the Inner Harbor to face the Baltimore Ravens. Jags fall in New York today, 28-23 to the Jets. Final moments of Jaguars postgame coming up on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame after the Jags fall in New York, 28-23. The Jets are now 5-3. The Jags fall to 2-6. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. The Jags are heading to Baltimore to face the Ravens. You touched on them just a moment ago, Fred. Steve Smith is done maybe for the career now with the injury, so the playmaker is gone. This is not the Ravens defense of old. What do you make of this Ravens team now heading into Week 10?
J.P., as I said a little bit ago, man, they're definitely beatable. I think, well, any teams in the league is beatable other than that Patriot team right now. But the Ravens, they've had their struggles. I really don't see them doing much on the offensive side of the ball versus the Jaguars' defense. If they could just continue to play well on the run game. And their defense, you mentioned, they're not the defense back in the day. That secondary is vulnerable. Not a lot of pressure up front, especially after losing Suggs. So there's an opportunity to go get a road win and snap the, is it 13 game winning streak on the road?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so lucky 13. That's why I retired in 13 years. I believe in lucky 13. So they'll go and get the win next week.
Fred, anything you do to approach this differently? You just keep showing up and preparing the same way? You know, they're not getting the results that they want on the end of the scoreboard, but is there anything you do to adjust, or is that more akin to a panic move at this point?
No panic at all. I mean, we've all watched every single game this year, and they're in a lot of the games. I mean, they were in every game, for that matter, other than the Patriots game. So I don't think there's panic. I think you keep competing. You go back to the drawing board every week, correct your mistakes. The mental errors, you should correct and fix those. The interceptions, those are uncoachable. That happens only in the game situation, and that's solely on the shoulders of each individual that's handling the ball. So those guys have to find a way to play smarter, and it's out of the coach's hands when you're turning the ball over. The players, they have to find a way to protect the football, and those L's are turning to W's.
No turnovers next week, Fred. No turnovers. High and tight,
hey,
Fred.
You give yourself a chance. High and tight is how we like it. You give yourself a chance to win those games.
We got to do it next week. Jags and Ravens coming up in Week 10. Well done, Fred. We'll talk to you next week in the pregame show and again in the postgame after the Jags beat the Ravens. How's that?
Of course, that's right. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Fred. Fred Taylor with us.
All right. Have a good one.
You too, in Jaguars postgame as always. If you're listening in Jacksonville on our flagship station, 1010XL, get ready. The scoreboard show is next. The phone lines are open, 1-800-355 NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. We'll take your calls and reaction to the Jags' loss to the Jets today in New York. Jaguars Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio is Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good evening. Final score, 28-23, Jets over the Jaguars in Week 9 on the Jaguars Radio Network.